Look, I'm fully aware of how much COVID has messed with our lives this past year. Many of us, for the first time in our lives, have felt trapped, stuck, or even helpless. Now imagine that not just being a year, but a life or a generation of being stuck. That's what happens to kids caught in the cycle of poverty. They are truly stuck. But there is good news. This doesn't have to be their story.
And that's where you come in. I'm sure you didn't wake up this morning thinking, I'm going to be a hero today, but you can. For $38 a month, just about a dollar a day, you can make sure a child living in poverty gets the things they need not only to survive, but to thrive.
You provide your sponsored child food, a better education, clean water, and medical treatment. And here's what I love about partnering with Food for the Hungry. Your gift also helps other kids in the community. So you're not just helping one child, but you're also helping their friends a little as well, because FH wants to build up the entire community.
The other really important part is you get to write to your child and encourage them. This is your faith in action, and your support and the words you share with them will carry and inspire them to accomplish more than they even dreamed possible for themselves.
With everything going on, I know it's easy just to take care of ourselves and put this off till tomorrow, but kids living in poverty, tomorrow feels like an eternity. Plus, I'm telling you that sponsoring one of our Food for the Hungry kids will not only help them, but it will also change you. There is such joy in helping innocent kids who didn't ask for or do anything to deserve this. And we've been blessed with so much in our lives. It's a blessing to be able to sponsor these amazing kids.
It only takes a minute and costs you nothing to see if this is even for you. So check it out, fh.org/Wally Show. Again, that's fh.org/Wally Show. You can also follow FH on Instagram and Twitter.
Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. All that stuff we did not get to during the course of the show today, with your gentle reminder again that we will not have an aftercast on Monday or Wednesday of next week for Memorial Day, and then I'm traveling for a work thing. And I appreciate the people that miss us, though, so thank you. But there is the heads up for you, if you will. So we'll get into some of the stuff from the show today. I'm curious if anyone else is sensing this, Gavin or Betty, and this is not designed to have a long, drawn-out conversation or a debate or just, like a rant or anything like that. But I'm curious, because neither one of you are vaccinated, correct?
Nope.
Right. Okay, and I'm not either. But I'm curious, do you sense any sort of a us versus them kind of thing between vaccinated people and non-vaccinated people?
I do think that it's almost a similar battle as the mask people versus the non-mask people. I think it's inherently the same fight, per se.
Because that's what I'm starting to sense, you know? But here's the thing. Again, on TV and in other people's worlds, not in my personal world. Like, we went to dinner with friends of ours last night, and one of the guys is a pastor at our church, so he got vaccinated because he's around people, and they wanted to open up the church, you know, and so he did that. But his wife is opposed to it, and so she's not vaccinated. Huh. And so, but, like, we're having dinner with them, and it doesn't matter, you know? Like, neither one, like, they're not fighting about it. We're not fighting and picking sides with either one of them. So, like, in our personal life, I don't sense that. But boy, online, you're starting to see a very clear divide between people.
But that's the key right there. You're saying it's all online, right? It's on TV. That's because there's a wall of separation there. When you're hiding behind the screen of a computer or a TV, you can say a lot of things and you can really judge people that you have no idea how they are. You just have a surface level knowledge of them.
Sure.
It's so easy to be judgmental and say you're wrong and I'm right. But the difference is like you're saying, in your personal life, it's not that way. That's because you know who these people are. You know more about them besides their political stance on masks and vaccines, and vice versa. They know more about you. So there's a mutual respect there. But when you don't know someone, you can't have that respect. I mean, you should, because all of us are God's children, but not everybody is.
It's easier to
Christian
make it an
belief.
Issue and when you don't know the individual, you know.
But that doesn't stop us. Like, we're naturally judgmental people.
Oh, for sure.
And
definitely.
So the internet can make that so much easier to do.
Yeah, I've just been seeing this, and like, I had a conversation with my wife the other day, because like, she she's like, yeah, it's weird. Like, I feel weird wearing a mask now, you know, because what happened was is for the long, it did an arc. So at first, people that were wearing masks in the very front end of this, they were seen as the ones that were overreacting to the pandemic. And then that had a shift. And it was like, okay, now you're wearing a mask to protect other people was the new narrative inside of that. And so then if you weren't wearing the mask when you were out at places, then that became the minority. Everyone had to wear a mask. And then the vaccine happens and it starts to change those rules. And so now more people that are vaccinated don't have to wear a mask anywhere when they're out. And so now if you're wearing the mask, it's the scarlet letter. It's the modern day scarlet letter. Oh, you're not vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And then that begs the conversation or the opinion or the, I don't want to use the term discrimination because I really hold that for serious issues, kind of like using post-traumatic stress or abuse. Like I try to hold that for situations where it's really warranted. But there is a discrepancy, if you will, in how people are perceived if you don't have the vaccine now, I think, from, you know, the media and things like that. And I think it's going to get worse, honestly, as we go. But you have to remember that, yes, 50% of the adult population is vaccinated, but what does that mean? 50% is not. You know, it's like we're still right down the middle, just like we were in the beginning of this thing, you know.
But it should be where if you got the vaccine and if it's supposed to work like you were promised that it would, then you shouldn't have any worries about.
Right. So if somebody's not wearing a mask, don't worry about it. You're good. You know,
your life is normal.
Yeah.
Now.
And if somebody chooses not to get the vaccine, then it's actually you're fine. You know, but I think all of this came up for me today because I saw this thing that there was a concert promoter in Florida who this is where I think it's going to start going, where right now they're trying to get people to get the vaccination by giving away college scholarships and $1 million and things, those big gestures, you know, and things like that. And so you see that and you go, okay, well, I think where it's going to go is more subtle than that. So here's a concert promoter in Florida that's offering $18 tickets to an upcoming show if you're vaccinated. So you want to come see a rock show? Here you go, $18. If you are not vaccinated, the cost for the ticket, you can still come in and enjoy the show. You'll be treated like everybody else. You can still come in, but it's $999.
That's problematic.
That's the whole point. The whole point is, well, we don't want you here if you're not vaccinated. So you can come, but it's going to cost you 5,500% more to actually come to the show. So that's the subtlety.
That doesn't seem like you can do that.
Right.
That just,
it's his own
now,
show.
He's the artist and he's saying that?
No, he's the promoter of the show.
Oh.
And so, yeah, you can do that.
But that's making it where you get all these benefits if you go and you just
now
give
it's clicking.
In.
Now it's clicking.
No, it's always clicked. Yeah. It's just
because this is an extreme example of one person doing this, and then you extrapolate that out to other things, or you extrapolate that out to the simplest thing of the government saying, or airlines saying, well, guess what? You're more than welcome to come fly with us and travel anywhere you want and go see anybody you want. That's your right as Americans to have freedom. And then they go, oh, but if you're vaccinated, you cannot. You know, if they start doing that with airlines, you know, and things like that. So that's where you get into this slippery slope of if you don't conform, then you're going to not just not get $1 million because it's a bonus thing. You're going to have some of your liberties restricted. Mm-hmm. And that's where it gets super dicey. Like if I don't want to get the shot and I miss out on $1 million because I didn't take part in the promotion, fine, that's on me. I get it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's fine. But then to say, well, you're not allowed to go see your family and fly across the country to do that because you don't have a vaccination, that's a whole different ballgame.
They're not saying that, though.
Not yet, but that's what...
But that would be a new world.
They've been taught... Well, they're saying that if you want to go to Europe. You know, say you want to leave the country and go somewhere. Mm-hmm. They are saying that. You know,
if you're vaccinated.
And Fauci had said, hey, I see a day where airlines will require vaccines, and if that's the case, cruises. If you want to go take a cruise, you have to be vaccinated right now. And so, again, this is all this stuff, and I'm not even really trying to say, oh, people have to believe what I believe, but I'm just saying watch for the progression. Watch the progression of the mask debate. Watch the progression of the vaccine debate. Watch how it unfolds, and just be very aware of it. And the beautiful part about our country is you have the right to say whatever you want to say about this issue, you know, and you should defend your position and you should fight for what you believe in. And that's fine, you know, it was interesting. This concert announcement I thought was, okay, that's the next step in this debate of vaccine versus non-vaccine. Talking about health stuff here, Ryan Reynolds, did you see this? I didn't know this. I guess he's kind of talked about it before, but he experiences anxiety, and I did not know that about him. He's one of my favorite actors.
I don't know what human doesn't.
I guess because there's levels of anxiety. Yeah. Do I get anxious at times when there's like chaos around me, or if I feel like I've got a whole lot of things to do and people are preventing me from doing that? Do I get anxious? Do mm-hmm. I get anxious waiting in line when I shouldn't be waiting in line or in traffic? Absolutely. But I would never, ever say I have anxiety.
It's that whole world where you have the people who just claim everything as I have anxiety.
Right. And you're anxious about something. Yeah. I take the seriousness of anxiety very serious in my own life. And so I would never claim that mm-hmm. where I don't have it, you know, but so many people co-opt off of it. And I think, again, like post-traumatic stress, all of these things should be reserved for people that have really been through that, not people who are almost wanting to have an excuse for how they feel or whatever. So yeah, you can have anxiety issues, but it's not an anxiety disorder. You can be anxious, but it's not anxiety. But his is definitely more than that. His is kind of like, Rock, what you've been talking about before in your life, where it kind of took over mm-hmm. and it ran on you and it became something that interfered with your mm-hmm.
your day-to-day life.
And so that was interesting hearing him, because I guess it's Mental Health Awareness Month. But he said it was interesting because we're right at the end of the month. And he's like, one of the reasons I'm posting this so late is I overschedule myself. An important thing slip, and one of the reasons I overschedule myself is my lifelong pal, anxiety. I know I'm not alone, most importantly, to all of those who are like me, overthink, overschedule, overwork, overworry, over everything. Please know that you're not alone. Hmm. And so that was interesting to hear that from him. I get the over thing. Like, I definitely overthink things, but again, I would never say I have anxiety.
Mm-hmm. But just to say that you have anxiety doesn't mean that you're weak or lacking in anything.
Nope. No, I think what I'm saying is I have a respect for it to not co-opt off of it and to not diminish someone's real anxiety with anxiousness. That's what I'm saying.
Like
I'm
stuff that would be diagnosed as anxiety versus, I'm feeling nervous about this thing that's going on in my life. Mm-hmm.
The difference between I'm sad or I have depression. Mm-hmm. Like, those are two very different scales, mm-hmm. and people tend to lump everything into, you're depressed. Well, mm-hmm. no, I'm just sad about this today, you know, mm-hmm. and that's okay. You can be sad about it, but clinical depression, when you are in bed for days because you cannot find the strength to brush your hair, you know, like mm-hmm. that's a whole nother ball game that I have respect for and don't want to ever minimize, you know. So mm-hmm. anyway, there you go. What do you got, Lady Rock?
So I think we're all big fans of The Office. I know Wally and I are. Gavin, you are?
Not as big as you guys, but okay. I've watched the show.
So you remember the episode where Jim and Pam, Jim proposes to Pam.
Very well.
And
at the gas station.
Yes, at a gas station.
Okay.
That's right.
Good point, Gavin.
So I didn't know this, but there was a lot that went behind that scene. Huh. A lot of work that went into the details. And Pam, who is Jenna Fisher.
Yeah.
And the lady that plays Angela, I don't know her real name, but they have a podcast and it's called The Office Girls, I believe. Mm-hmm. But anyways, Pam talks about the scene and what was going on behind it.
To create the illusion of highway traffic, they built a 4-lane circular racetrack and they had cars drive around it at 55 miles an hour. Then they added rain. After we shot the scene, they had to hire a special effects company.
What?
They had to paint out the mountains and put in some trees.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, because, he's supposed to drive, and they're supposed to meet halfway in the middle, and they'd been having tensions, and then he asked her to marry him. And the shot, I remember the shot specifically, because the shot is from across the street, because it's supposed to be the TV crew documenting them. So the mm-hmm. shot is across the street. You see the cars whizzing in front of you, or in front of, in between them, and then you see him drop down on on his knee. That is fascinating that they went through all of that to make that. I just figured they went and shot it on location
seems
somewhere.
Seems like they could have done
Yeah,
that.
It seems like they could have done it for a lot cheaper.
Well, you don't know how much it costs. Here's the thing. She does go into detail about how long the scene was and then how much it cost.
In the end, this was the single most expensive scene ever shot during the entire run of the show. It lasts 52 seconds, and it costs $250,000.
Oh. Wow.
My goodness.
It was a great 52 seconds, though.
Yeah. It was.
And, you know, if you
It's
get,
what the show was coming down to.
Yeah. And if you Very get integral. That kind of emotion out of it, then it's worth it. $250,000 for them, probably not that big of a deal. That episode cost more than the time they had to rent the bounce house because Michael was going through office depression and wanted to do the demonstration for Daryl and the warehouse guys. That seemed like that would have been at least $75 to rent one of those.
$75. So, was it, in that proposal scene? I forget. Could you hear them at all in the scene, or were you just like far away and you just saw what happened versus hearing Jim and Pam? Like,
I think
talking.
You hear them, but
I don't think you do.
I think you hear them when they first show up, but then it gets quiet. I don't know. We'd have to look at that.
I just remember being impressed by the way they filmed it.
I remember it was when he drops down to his knee. It's quiet. But I thought that they first get there and you kind of hear them talking like, oh, you're here. Why are you here?
I'm watching. Oh, yes. Because he pulls up and she's like, this isn't halfway.
Right.
And then it's like they're not mic'd up. You can kind of hear
it's
them in the
like,
distance.
Exactly.
Mainly hear the rain
right.
more than
That's
anything.
That's what I remember.
They did it like an off mic technique to make
That's
to further
cool.
that idea that you're eavesdropping in on this moment.
But
that was really
what's so weird is now that I'm watching the scene to think that there's like semi trucks driving by. They're all in a circle going 55 miles an hour.
They built all that.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so here's the. Here's this, oh, that's all built, and they're on a circle.
All that in the back.
Oh my gosh! Oh,
isn't that weird?
Huh. Do you see the same car?
You might see the same car.
Yeah, you have to look for that. That's crazy because it's funny when you try to remember something. I didn't remember the scene as being the cars that prevalent. I thought you'd see kind of like the top of the roof of a car go by. So it was indescript and more out of focus.
Yeah, and she said it was in the parking lot of a Best Buy. So they have to edit out everything.
What? That's crazy.
That goes to so much trouble. Why don't you just take them to a gas station that's in a good location?
I know.
Walk off the road.
Well, then you have other problems because of like audio especially. Man, you got idiots
You're
driving
in
by
total
and
control of this scene.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's why you do sound stages and you don't shoot stuff in a house because you can light it and you can get your sound right and stuff too. Mm-hmm. Oh boy. Well, that was fun. I had to put together a goodbye video for our boss that I've known him for 14 years because he's the guy that hired me. And I had to put together a video, a montage of a bunch of us saying goodbye to him. And I pulled a thing from The Office. Goodbye, Toby. Like.
Did you say goodbye?
No, I didn't do a parody. I didn't have that kind of time.
Oh.
But the part where like we're all
it's
gathered
goodbye.
Here to say goodbye to someone we'll probably never see again. So I pulled that part.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, man. All right. Well, let's do some birthdays.
All right. So we have got... We've got a couple that we're going to work on. I've got a few because we've got the weekend, then we got Monday. So, Andy to her brother, Aaron. He's the biggest brother. He's the best big brother I could ask for. Emily to her little sister, Evie, who's turning 9. Happy birthday. We've also got Caleb to his cousin, Robert. Robert is a longtime potty. Happy birthday. Then Wyatt to his mom, Tasha, a homeschool mom of 7 kids.
Oh, wow.
No, that's a school.
Alicia to Holt, happy birthday, turning the big 10. Joshua to Shannon, his mom, loving, caring, and mother of 3. Let's see. Josh to Ryan, my older brother, cooler than and better looking than I am.
Oh, what a. Wow, that's honesty.
Ashley to her daughter, Abigail, who's turning 2. And then Ryan getting himself a happy birthday shout out. Happy birthday. And
Ryan.
Then we've got Donna, who wants to wish her neighbor, Mr. Zellman, a happy birthday. He's an aspiring children's author.
Oh, okay. Mr. Z.
Yeah. And her question is, how does your family influence the way each of you do your job?
Work ethic. My dad's work ethic that he instilled in me from the time I was, you know, 8 years old, mm-hmm. you know, working with him, for him and his company. And then through high school and college and all that stuff, like I didn't like school at the time, but like I had a better work. I had a good work ethic for work, you know, and that has carried me through. That's carried me through my whole life. Like every job I've been at, you know, I've worked hard and excelled because of that, you know, because people could say, oh, well, you're not the most talented, but boy, no one's going to outwork you, you know, and stuff. And so that's carried me through my entire career and something he instilled in me from a time when I was young. What about you, Rock?
My dad was in radio, but not when after I was born, he quit. But music was always important to him. So I grew up on music, not sports, but music. Mm.
Yeah, and you had a picture of Danny Ray the other day behind the Skins.
That's right.
Playing the drums at church.
That means the drums, yes.
Yeah. The skins, yeah. Huh.
But also being raised in a Christian home. Just, you know,
yeah.
Getting me where I am. So that's a big deal.
Yeah, getting you to heaven.
Good. Yeah.
Good job.
It's a win-win. Yeah. For sure. What about you, Gavin?
I almost think, so like the first thing that came to mind was like, I think that they raised me to do what you do with kindness and to treat people no matter like who you're talking to, whether it's like people on the phone or
sure.
people in the office, do treat them with kindness and do it all with kindness. And then I was also thinking about how like I literally grew up in a car listening to Christian radio.
Mm.
Caleb.
Nah.
And,
uh-uh.
And so like, you know, I grew up loving this music. So I feel like there was it was a nice, you know, tip of the hat to end up working in the industry. So I love that.
Well, it's nice that we've been able to show you the opposite side of what you grew up listening to.
Exactly.
And show you
the better side.
The better side of that. Yeah. So that's good. All right. So anyway, shots fired. I'm kidding. They're great. So with that.
Yes. Weekend plans. Everybody's got a weekend plans.
And it's a long weekend,
3 days.
Too.
I know. So good. Like, I feel like I should have so many things. Like, I've got, like, this list of stuff to do. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that it's going to. It's nothing exciting. It's like, have someone come out and look at the damage on our roof from hail. Ooh. Yeah. And
ooh,
it's
adult
like,
stuff.
Yeah, it really is. It's like work on getting the house ready. We're having our house painted inside, and I got like projects that I want to do. So for me, that's great. Like for me, that's weekend plans. I love it. And I'm going to go riding nice. In a place where I haven't ridden before. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. So that's
fun.
My, yeah.
You and Gregor's?
Yeah, that's my weekend plans. And then I think it's funny. My daughter, Greg's wife, Molly, and Marty are best friends, but my daughter has always seen Molly as like a second mom. Like, mm-hmm. she's always gotten along with her so well. And so the other day, we went out to dinner with Greg and Molly, and we typically play like cards. Like, we'll play Canasta or Face 10 and just have dinner and hang out like once a week, like usually every Friday night. And so we were having dinner with them earlier in the week this time, and Molly goes, oh yeah, and we're playing cards Saturday night. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's fine. I didn't know. And she's like, oh yeah, Haley and I set it up. Like, so Haley moved back in with us, and so she and Molly set up a game night and dinner, and we're like, that's okay, funny. Let's do it, you know. Which I love that she has someone else in her life too, beyond just me and Marty, mm-hmm. you know, that she loves and respects.
Yeah,
and
that's healthy.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, yeah. And so I thought, oh, that's kind of fun. Mm-hmm. She's always been better around adults than kids, though.
I think it's an only child thing.
Yeah. Are you like that, Rock, mm-hmm. typically?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because she didn't have time for the high school drama, like didn't care and wanted no part of it. Mm-hmm. But she could sit at us with us at dinner with adults for hours, even from the time she was little.
Yeah.
And not be a nuisance. She'd actually be involved and people liked her, you know?
Yeah, I've had friends that were the same age as me and they'd get creeped out, or not creeped out, but just very anxious about thinking about meeting like a different set of parents,
yeah.
or meeting grandparents. It never bothered me.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh yeah.
Yeah. She
hey, how you doing?
She would have rather hung out with the parents than the kids half the time, mm. you know?
Yeah.
That's just how
so
she was
interesting.
Wired.
Yeah.
So tonight, I'm not really sure. It's still up in the air, but tomorrow is Mule Day.
Is it
really?
In Columbia.
They're doing Mule Day again.
So I'm going to try.
Live.
I'm going to try.
Why would you?
Well, because I need to get there right when it starts.
Why?
Because I also have plans with my friend Amber that evening. And the girl that I'm planning to go with, she's also got some other girls that are coming with, but they're all riding together, and she doesn't know if they want to get there that early.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try.
How early does it? When does it start?
9.
Okay, so you'll be there around midnight tonight. Get there.
Yeah, you got to camp out.
Yeah, you got to camp out.
It's starting tonight. Like, you can go tonight, but it's supposed to thunderstorm all day today. So there's that's a loss. Then
Now that they're doing it again, I want to start an official campaign for next year. It's too late this year. I didn't even know what's happening. For you to be Mule Day Queen.
Thank you.
Do they have that?
Yeah, they do.
Holy
shit. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, you gotta.
I think there's an age limit.
There is, but maybe there's a Mrs. Mule Day Queen, you know, kind of thing. Like, because I know one of the girls who was one of the Mule Day Queens. She was at my daughter's school. And so, like, maybe there's an adult version. Maybe there's, a single Mule Day.
You'll always be
sophisticated Mule Day Queen.
Sophisticated, yes. then
properly
Sunday.
Aged Mule Day Queen.
Sunday, I'm going kayaking for
what?
The first time.
No, you are not. Oh, it's so fun.
Friends. Okay. And they're bringing their dogs with them. Oh, and they're sweet. Each going to have their little life jacket.
Oh, are these going to be the dogs you'll babysit?
One of them is. Okay. One of them is.
Have you ever kayaked?
No.
You have not? Okay.
No. So they said it's really easy. It's nothing crazy.
Depends on where you're getting it. Like,
yeah.
I see, are you guys going to like a lake or is it going to be...
On the river, on the dock.
Because the river
There's no
moves.
Kind of like white water rafting thing.
No.
That's different.
No,
but that
no,
is
no.
fun.
Yeah, it's regular kayaking on a river is far more boring than white water rafting, but you'll be safe. Kayaking is one of those things that when you take someone kayaking for the first time, if they've never gone, it can be one of the most frustrating things in the world for both people. As you're trying to teach somebody how to paddle, it really isn't that hard.
No.
Have you ever spent much time on the water? Do you like the water?
I went fishing with my dad. Yeah.
Okay, then maybe you'll be all right. Like, my wife would be a disaster kayaking.
I think I'll catch on quickly.
Yeah, I think it's as long as you're putting like even strength behind your strokes.
Like,
then
we paddleboarded and my wife was horrible at paddleboarding. It took me all of 5 seconds to be great at paddleboarding. Like, because I grew up surfing, so it was like no big. Like, I'm like, why do people struggle with this? This is simple. But she had the hardest time controlling it, and I've seen that with kayaks. Like, it seems really easy. But there's no rudder on it, you know, typically. And so you have to really be, you know, intentional with how you paddle. How you paddle matters.
And you might be on, because I don't know what kayaks you'll be on. Because my family owns ocean kayaks, and those things are stronger and heavier.
Yeah.
But sometimes you're just on these, like, duckies, and you'll just do a stroke and you'll twist.
It'll be interesting to see how many bushes you end up in. Yeah.
Just don't fall into the water.
Don't go in the bushes.
And the crocodiles.
Snakes are in the bushes. They'll fall. They'll drop on you.
I'm sharing a fun thing I'm going
to
do.
I'm trying to save your life.
We want you to have fun, but be safe.
This is going
to
be interesting to see how this goes. Watch out for bushes.
Tell your friends to record, please.
Like, I'm telling you, be careful.
Some positive feedback.
Yeah, this is so much fun.
It's positive. Don't run your thing under the bushes because snakes drop out of the bushes onto your kayak. And it's terrifying.
And then Monday, I'm going to maybe sleep late.
Good.
That's about it. Gavin?
My parents and my little brother and sister are in town right now.
Nice.
And so they're at, what is it, Bellamede
Plantation?
So they're there right now. I told them I didn't want to go, so they went during work. So
that's a good idea.
It's a win for me.
Yeah,
so
I would.
Don't want to be outside right now, and I don't do the history stuff.
Yeah. You don't like history at all? Like, is that your thing?
That's not. The only place that I've ever actually really enjoyed was the Hermitage.
Yeah.
I just thought that was more interesting. But yeah, most history stuff bores me.
Yeah,
sorry.
I went to one like big, what is it, Chateau Elan or something like that in the Carolinas, which is like the biggest mansion. And it was, I mean, it's nice, but like the whole time I'm like, well, I don't own this.
Yeah. Oh, the Biltmore.
Like, that was Biltmore. Yeah. I was like, okay, I own this, but I mean, I don't own this. Yeah. So what do I care?
Good for them who had way more money than I'll ever have.
Yeah.
But they're doing that. We're doing axe throwing tonight.
Nice.
Tomorrow we're going zip lining.
Oh, are
you? So that'll be super cool.
Do you know that Kentucky has in a cave zip lining?
Like, oh, that would be amazing.
2.5-3 hours from here, and you can go. You can do an e-bike run, like ride in the cave. You can do bike ride in the cave, and you can zip
that's
line in
cool.
the cave. So that should be your next evolution
that
of that.
That's amazing. And then on Monday, my dad's renting a boat, and he's got his boating license, which I don't know if you ever have to like.
I don't think you
re-update or that, but
He just got it to one. I've never had a boating license, and I've sailed and I've rented boats my entire life.
I don't know how that works, but. Yeah. We're going to do that on Monday from 10 to 5, you said?
They give you a real quick lesson. They're like, okay, now you turn it this way, you turn it that way. Remember, you don't have a lot of control at slow speed, so keep the thing 50 feet away from everything else. Okay, have fun.
Have fun. Here's a card that says you did your boating school.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Yeah, because you can rent a boat without having a license. I was talking the other day with Greg, I'm like, man, we should have bought jet skis. Like, I missed that. I used to own one. I loved it. And I haven't really done it much here. And the summer's coming. And my wife doesn't want to put a pool in our yard. So I'm like, maybe I trade it out for a jet ski.
Jet ski. I've been watching these videos where there's people in these, like, small pools on a jet ski.
And doing flips.
Doing flips is, like, the most crazy thing I've ever seen.
But I want to do it. Uh-huh. I want to see you do it. Yeah, it would be a disaster. It'd be a fail. I'd end up dead. All right. So with that, I think that is going to end our Aftercast. Again, remember, nothing on Monday or Wednesday of next week. So until Tuesday, have a great weekend, and thanks for being a potty.